Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. With the Lord's help, perhaps we will be able to finish a message I've been sharing on trusting God's goodness. And we wanted to look at some passages in the book of Philippians, and I want to talk about the ministry of suffering. Now, nobody would get very excited about hearing that, except it is in the Word. Let's hear what Paul has to say in Philippians, the third chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what Paul was saying in verse 10, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, he was saying that I may be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, but that He may experience not only the power, but the fellowship of His sufferings. And you know, you might say, well, What is that? Well, of course, we can in no wise suffer as the Lord Jesus did. He was crucified to redeem mankind. But the Word says He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. There were many things, as He was the perfect Son of God and the Son of Man, was able to live a perfect sinless life, and He did that by always deferring to the Father's will. And beloved, just like sun's rays ripen fruit on a tree, you know, there's blossoms and then the fruit starts to bud. So, beloved, fiery trials promote spiritual maturity. Remember in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, verse 4, Jesus, in speaking of Lazarus, He said, "This sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it." And in John, the 9th chapter, verse 3, the disciples were questioning the Lord about a man born blind from birth, and they wanted to know, did he sin or was it his parents? And Jesus' response is very interesting. He said, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Beloved, not all our battles, neither all our sicknesses are due to the chastening of the Lord. Lazarus became sick through no fault of his own. God just allowed him to suffer and die, that Jesus might have the opportunity to raise him from the dead. Let me share a quote with you from F.B. Meyer. He says, "The child of God is often called to suffer because there is nothing that will convince onlookers of the reality and power of true religion as suffering will when it is born with Christian fortitude. Everyone cannot be trusted with trial. All could not stand the fiery ordeal. Some who are Christians would speak rashly and complainingly, so the master has to select with careful scrutiny the branches which can stand the knife and the jewels which can stand the wheel. It is given to some to preach, to some to work, but others to suffer. End quote. Beloved, how do I react to adverse circumstances? We all go through hard times for God's purposes. But, beloved, in Job 35 and 10, what did he say? None of us have been in the position of Job, where he suffered the loss of everything, including his health. And he said, God, my maker, give us songs in the night. In our moments of deepest trouble, how blessed to know that we don't have to create our own midnight melodies. It is our God, our Maker, who gives songs in the night. And there are perhaps no more sweet harmonies than those that the Holy Spirit plays. And he takes up the harp of God's word, if you will, and he plucks one string of promises after another as he composes our symphony of comfort. You know, I read that Beethoven lived most of his productive years in partial or total deafness. Just think of that great master. And his deafness became his greatest blessing. Psalm 81 and 10 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Philippians 4, let me share a few more scriptures there, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Beloved, that is the bottom line. And, you know, I know in today's world, it's not easy living in today's world. There's a lot of difficulties just in living, not to speak of the satanic battles and oppression and opposition we face. You know, and in today's world, everyone seems to be in such a hurry. Have you noticed that? People eat lunch, they talk on their cell phones, all the while they're walking, they're always in a hurry. And now, you have to understand, I'm not being critical of excellence in time management or energy efficiency. I believe in those. I try to practice those. But I believe a lot of the chaos and the frenzy of the times that we live in is a result of information overload and scattered, divided attentions, thought and focus that can't be brought into clarity. And many Christians are worn down and they're weary dealing with so much that seems to consume every waking hour. And beloved, Jesus never meant us to live as the world does, even though we're in it. Beloved, I believe the Lord, as we read the pages of His Word, He was never in a rush, was He? He was never anxious to do the Father's will, but he walked in peace and calm assurance, knowing that he was pleasing the Father. Scripture says in Isaiah 28 and 16, he that believeth shall not make haste. And beloved, it is faith which gives us that ability to walk in confidence and in peace. And nothing takes the Lord by surprise. He knew what life in this 21st century would be like. He knew all about, in advance, the unrest, the evil, the fears, the economic troubles, the wars and catastrophe of this present time in which we live. It's so disheartening to hear in the news the things that are occurring, the violence and the crime and the evil that is just proliferating. But beloved, He does have the answers. And as you're listening to me right now, you might feel like you're charging off in all directions at once. But what does the Lord tell us in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verse 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Beloved, that's what I've been ministering on these last few days, to trust in God, to trust his goodness. Our adversary wants us to make us feel that God doesn't love us, he doesn't care. He wants to keep us fragmented, disoriented, dismayed. But our heart's cry should be as David: teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Beloved, Jesus makes things simple. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He says that, and it's recorded in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 30. And you know, as I thought of that scripture, the Lord gave new insight. If you could read that verse, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and if we read that phrase with burden, not as an adjective, in other words, not as heavy, but as a noun, his burden is not an adjective, not heavy, but it's light. And light, as God is light, by Webster's definition, it means light makes vision possible. It is brightness, daylight, dawn, spiritual illumination, inner light, enlightenment, truth. Beloved, Jesus said in Luke 11:34, if our eye is single, our whole body will be full of light. And beloved, if we will walk in the revelation of Jesus' burden, that it is light, it is revelation, this scripture will be fulfilled in our lives. 1 Peter 1:8, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Beloved, he's going to show you the way. And the reason I'm on this broadcast is not only to share the truth, but in the body of Christ, we have to be concerned not only with our own problems, but we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6:2. And if you have any of these areas of need I've been sharing these last few days, or if you have any other concern, please write and share your needs. It's my joy. It's a sacred privilege to stand as a partner in prayer with you. And countless thousands have been blessed over the years by this personal ministry of prayer and correspondence. And so, beloved, I do invite you to write. And, Lord, I'm just asking that you would refresh your beloved right now. Lord, just lift every burden. Give them that light burden of revelation, of knowledge of how to walk in your ways and not to feel pressured or anxious or fearful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me today. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, baby.